You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that will inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and authors that share valuable stories and very helpful information who are working to keep this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, today we're going to be talking about scams. And we're going to be talking about particular scams, and in this case, the Nigerian scams. They are considered one of the most common types of fraud and convenience schemes on the planet. The perpetrators of these advanced fee fraud, also known as the 419 or Nigerian letter scam, are estimated to rake in close to $10 billion a year from their victims. And what makes it even worse is that you also have victims that are murdered. They lose their money. They go over to that country thinking that they're going to be meeting with the people who are supposedly going to help them. And instead, they murder them. Now, to talk about this and so much more, our guest today, Jeff Brown, started making movies from a very early age. His interest in action and adventure led Jeff to film and direct in some of the most remote and inhospitable locations in the world, such as the Canadian Arctic, Borneo, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, India, China, and Tibet. One example of this is when Jeff traveled by freighter to film The World's Most Traveled Man at Bouvier Island, which is known as the most remote island on Earth. Now, Brown's IMDb.com filmography includes work as a director, a writer, a cinematographer, and a producer. Now, Jeff filmed for National Geographic's top-rated series, Drugs, Inc., and now has transitioned to fictional films. And he has recently was working as the cinematographer on a fiction film starring Tom Sizemore and Michael Paré. He has produced other movies starring Danny Trejo, Misha Barton, Vinnie Jones, Luke Goss, and Vern Troyer, just to name a few. Now, Jeff has written and will produce The Letter, a true story based on the infamous Nigerian email scams, which is the topic of our show today. Now producing, writing, and directing feature films, Jeff is making movies and making a name for himself. Jeff, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. Great to be here.
Well, it is great to have you here. For those people that know me, that are listening to the show, they know that I've gone into some pretty dangerous situations throughout the world. But I've not gone to Nigeria, and I have not gone into some of the areas that you've gone into to shoot films. So, I mean, there's a lot of a lot of scams that go on, a lot of I want to say confidence schemes, you know, that all of us receive, you know, in our email every day. And, you know, it started many years ago, you know, with just getting letters even before the internet. But I think what I'm wondering is, I mean, what got you interested in digging into what goes on with these Nigerian email scams?
Well, first off, I mean, I love great stories, and I love, stories that involve, you know, Westerners and foreign countries and all that kind of stuff with all the traveling and everything I've done. I just always keep my eyes and ears open. One day, this is when I was living in Vancouver, one of my neighbors was knocking on my door and said that he had, you know, potentially come into a huge amount of money through this, you know, email he got. And I hadn't even really, I'd received them before these Nigerian email scams, but I hadn't really, you know, delved into them too much. So I went over to his place, and he was showing me this letter and how potentially he was going to use this money to fund some films, and if I wanted to use some of it for some of my projects and stuff like that. And I just knew it was too good to be true. So I went back to my place and started researching it and learning more about these Nigerian email scams. And I started researching it and learning more about these Nigerian email scams, and basically thought, wow, there's a whole network, a whole world there. I mean, who are these people? What are these faces behind these scams? So that was sort of the beginning interest. And so I decided, you know what, this would potentially be a fantastic script.
So what was your next move at that point?
Yeah, so basically I started researching online and started, you know, seeing what I could do about meeting Nigerians in Vancouver and just try to get to the heart of a story. And I started writing away, and after I did my first draft, I thought, you know, this was really a Westerner's take on these scams. I didn't really get those details that I wanted, and I wanted it to come from the Nigerian side more so than the Western side, you know, because I was really curious on what was going on over there. And you can't, you know, you can only really get that kind of texture if you visit the country, you know, yourself. So I put a note out there saying, you know, I'll go to Nigeria, and if someone, you know, pays for me to go there, in exchange, I'll do some shooting for them. And thankfully, I met this incredible foundation, this place, Gratia International, that has an orphanage over there. And they decided to send me over so I could, you know, work with the kids and do some filming, and at the same time, research this story.
Well, I think that's great. And I think, I mean, most of us as Americans, we see our films based on our eyes. You know, it's, you know, we have American producers, American directors, and they're putting things out there based on how it affects us. So in this case, you know, you could have said, okay, I'm going to do another thing as to how this affected the person that got scammed. I love the fact that you went over there and thought, what is motivating them to do something like this, and how has this become such an international scheme?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's interesting. It's actually the second biggest industry in Nigeria next to oil. And the people that I met, you know, in Vancouver and here in Los Angeles and stuff, and then finally in Nigeria, I mean, we export, or Shell and these companies export about $30 billion a year of oil out of the country. So every criminal has an excuse for why they are committing that crime. So theirs is, you know, we're stealing from them, and it's their way of stealing back. And if they think that, you know, if we think we're outsmarting them by taking their oil, here, we're going to outsmart you. And so they get kind of a kick out of it, thinking, you know, you guys are this modern world, you know, these educated Western people. You know, you're not that smart.
Apparently we're not. So, you know, share with our listeners, because there may be some people out there that don't really understand exactly what this looks like. So what do some of the scams look like, and what are some examples of these letters that people are getting?
Yeah, well, in a few moments, we'll play an interview that I had with one of the victims, and she'll get into what happened with her and her cousin and all that. But generally what these letters are, they come to you, they'll say something like, you know, the president, Abacha, was, you know, left the government and billions of dollars went missing. And these Nigerians, or this group of people, ended up with a trunk of money that they have either sent to Holland, or they have kept in Nigeria. They've had to hide the money and cover it with a black ink or some stamps. And they need help and someone paying for this chemical to wash the money. And if you do that, if you pay for the chemical, they will, in fact, you know, give you some of those dollars, 10% of 25 million or whatever it is. Or perhaps your name matches someone. There was an email that I got, and, you know, they'll find a plane crash, an Air France plane crash. They'll say, you know, and somehow they'll have my name or your name. And they'll say, you know, a Brown died in this plane crash. They had X amount of shares in the Nigerian Petroleum Corporation. The government's about to seize that money. Can you help us and take this, you know, claim the money as yours? You can take, you know, 60% of it. We just want X amount. And, you know, it's going to happen very quickly, because, and everything's quickly. Everything has to happen quickly. The government's about to take this money. All we need you to do is sign some papers and you'll have the money.
Okay. So now they're saying sign some papers and you'll have the money. How are they getting money from those people?
Yeah. So basically, once you sign, or once you agree to it, they know they've kind of hooked you. So then they'll start saying, well, you need to pay $100 to, you know, we have a lawyer over here. He's one you can trust. It costs $100 for us to fax or to send these actual papers or, you know, whatever it is. There's just different charges. So then you'll pay that $100 and then something will come up. You'll see in this interview, the person explains it quite well.
Right. And, you know, it sounds like, though, the common denominator in these situations, as far as the person are on our end, is it seems like there's a sense of greed. I mean, you know, it's, you know, aren't we trying to get over on something? In other words, it's one thing if somebody says, we found your bank account and this is your money that you earned, versus, you know, here's something to where it probably isn't yours, but we're still going to be able to get it to you.
Absolutely. I mean, we're all kind of looking for that dream, that overnight success that everyone, you know, people who fall for this scam are probably at a rough stage in their life and maybe not necessarily financially. And these are all educated people. In fact, you know, we can touch on this later, but the people who get scammed are usually educated doctors or even lawyers or whatever. And they're looking for this opportunity and they think, you know, they're praying to God for some kind of sign. And lo and behold, the next day they get an email and they think that's the one.
That was it.
Yeah. So, and so it's true. They do a lot of these scams are people taking advantage of a system and trying to make money the quick and easy way, which, you know, a lot of us know there is no quick and easy way to make money, Alan.
Right. You got that right. Now, let's go back to your going over there because, again, we talked about the fact that, I mean, portions of Nigeria are really a dangerous place, but yet you were willing to risk your life to go over there just for a script. I mean, what did you discover once you got there?
Yeah, I mean, I love adventure. I love getting, you know, getting out there, sort of boots on the ground. I love just going where other people haven't been, and to tie it into filmmaking, which has always been my dream, is just all the more exciting. So yeah, what I found over there was a real mix. I've been there twice now. And like I say, it was hosted by this orphanage. So there I was in this sort of beautiful place, really, where the kids were smiling and singing every day and sweeping and this whole beauty. But outside these walls, of course, where, you know, wherever I had to go, I had to be guarded with, you know, guys with AK-47s and all that kind of stuff who, you know, I didn't even know if I could trust them. There's that whole kind of little bit of underlying fear that you can't trust anybody there and anybody at all. But I mean, generally, I was very fortunate to be surrounded by good people, and a lot of Nigeria is, you know, good people. But going in and getting into the world, you know, the underworld of the scamming and stuff like that provided some interesting opportunities to go into some places that, you know, empty sort of warehouses in the middle of, you know, the jungle kind of place where these guys are sitting down. And, you know, I didn't go with my guards at that point. Someone else took me into this place to meet with one of these scammers. And it's definitely, for me, it's nerve-wracking, but exceptionally exciting. And so as I'm sitting there asking some questions, I'm also looking for exits and stuff in case I have to run out.
Now, for those of you that are sitting at your computer, and if you want to follow along with us, I mean, as Jeff was telling that story, I was visualizing on some pictures that are on his website. There are pictures of him with his Nigerian guards. So if you go to, it's www.jeffbrown.com, and I'm going to spell that. It's GEOFFBROWNE.com. If you go to the website, you can open up another window and you can look at some of the pictures, you know, that Jeff has on his website from his time over there. And I think you'll be able to visualize some of the same things that I'm visualizing while Jeff is talking about this. Now, Jeff, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, some recordings. You know, can you share with us a little bit about what happens to the victims, you know, and their families, and why this becomes such almost like an obsession?
Yeah, absolutely. It does become an obsession, as you'll hear from this person that I interviewed, a victim here in the West. She told her cousin, you know, numerous times that he was being scammed potentially, and he wouldn't believe it. The thing is, why they go after educated people is because, one, we think we're too smart to fall for a scam. And our ego is going to hold on to that and say, no, everybody else is getting scammed. I'm not getting scammed. I'm going to keep paying these guys. So it would be interesting now, maybe if we could play it and just hear what this person has to say about, you know, about her cousin and sort of what went down.
All right, here we go.
My first cousin, who, unbeknownst to me, started paying very close attention to these and started responding to them. He was all excited because he was going to save, through one of these offers. I think he started off with diamonds, and he was in contact with this very respectable-sounding old Nigerian attorney who was going to send him this consignment, and he was going to get these, God knows, you know, diamonds. So he started waiting for diamonds, and then I moved on to cleaning dollar bills, and for which he needed to buy money to buy chemicals to clean out the banknotes, and then they would be sent to him, and on and on. That's how that started.
Okay, now, you know, as we're listening to that, do you want, I mean, is there another clip that you want to go into, or tell us a little bit about what we just heard?
Yeah, so this family, the victim had fallen for the scams for over 5 years, close to 10 years on these little promises day by day. And this person's going to tell us more about that. But you can see here that her cousin fell for not only one scam, but they would switch it and do another scam and another scam. And you were saying earlier in the show that sometimes they convince people to fly to Nigeria, or they convince them, they actually also convince them to fly to Amsterdam. I mean, these scammers are not only just in Nigeria. They have a huge network around the world here in Los Angeles and Vancouver. And what they want to try and do is get you, if they can convince you to fly somewhere, they, you know, if you won't come to Nigeria, let's say, if you're living in LA, maybe go to Amsterdam. If you're living in Amsterdam, they'll say go to LA. They want to get you out of your comfort zone.
Sure.
And they want to do things over a short period of time. So there's a, you know, an example of, you know, of a guy going to Amsterdam, handing over the money, and then they just disappear. And people lose, as we were saying, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And in the end, you know, there's been a lot of suicides and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty intense.
So what you're saying is, so part of the reasoning for asking them to fly somewhere, I mean, is that because they think, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to be the one that's scammed. If I'm there and I'm looking them in the eye, you know, I'm not going to hand them the money until I get my share of the $25 million or whatever, not realizing that once they're out of their comfort zone and they're driving out to some remote place, that they're never going to return.
Yeah, there's that absolute possibility. But really, they, I mean, as the scammers, they want to try and milk you for all you're worth. I mean, they have, there is no sacred word. There's nothing they won't say to try and get money out of you. So if they think that you're going to keep paying and keep paying and keep paying, they're not going to, you know, kill you or kidnap you and stuff. And not all of them are killers or kidnappers, but they are definitely, you know, they have one thing in mind, and that is to take as much money away from you as humanly possible. And they will say and do anything. I mean, the contracts, the stamped agreements, everything that comes in front of you will look official, and it's not.
Right. And I think a lot of it, you know, having done a little bit of investigating into it, is there's a lot of bribe money. I think that's one of the things that I've heard people explain as well, that, well, you know, we would have gotten it, but something got hung up in customs, and now we need another $500 to bribe the guy in customs to let it out, you know, as just one of the many different things that's being dumped on them.
Yeah, actually, there's a story of these Canadians that flew over to Nigeria thinking that they were getting involved in something with the military. They flew into Lagos. They got picked up off the plane and a police escort to their hotel, police escort to the army base and everything, and it was all fake. The police were paid off. The army base was fake. So it actually is a huge infrastructure in Nigeria. I mean, it's a very dangerous place, unfortunately, to do some business unless you really, you know, meet them first and you know, don't give money to try and get more money.
All right. So do you have another clip here set up, and do you want to set it up?
Absolutely, yeah. So here she'll go on and say what happens after you send the money, and she'll get into those sort of pitfalls that we were just talking about.
All right. Here we go.
And so it was around the time of 9/11, and then the first excuse that I heard is that, oh, if it hadn't been for 9/11, the money would have made it just past the customs right in time, but because of 9/11, the $100 that he had sent via Western Union didn't make it on time. Therefore, they needed another $250, but that would be it. And then within 3 days, my cousin would be receiving, $10 million in his account, and et cetera. And that was the beginning of the rest of an absolute nightmare for our family.
All right. And then, Jeff, share with us a little bit. I want people to understand that this person did not record this underwater. and as Jeff explained it to me, this person was so fearful of repercussions because of the network of criminal empire that they have, that they didn't even want their real voice on the radio. Is that correct?
Absolutely. This person is terrified of the scammers. And, because they have such a wide web that they could be connected to people here in Los Angeles or, wherever this person is, San Diego. So they asked to have their voice disguised because it's taken them a lot of work to hide from them, hide the family from them. They lost everything. So that's why it sounds like that. We had to disguise the voice a bit.
And how much is everything?
Well, we're going to find that out.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's get into the next one where it's how much money did he give?
Okay. Perfect.
Everything he had, not at a go, right, but over a 10-year period of time, and then he stole from me and he stole from another member of the family. So an estimate would be over $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did it take them to get $1 million out of this person?
Yeah, about 10 years. Over 10 years. And, in that time, this person was trying to convince the victim that, he was being scammed, and they just refused to believe it. And that happens time and time again. I mean, it's insane. But it's just that ego that we all have, that we're too smart to be, to get scammed. I know this is right. I know the next thing is right. And in the next little clip, they go on to say exactly how do they keep convincing him.
All right.
And then little by little, the more he lost, the more he, the deal was, oh, another $200. You're so close now. You've already spent $10,000. So, what's another $200? And by Monday morning, you'll have the whole thing. You've got $1 million at your bank account. So he would go for another $200. And then, of course, come Monday morning, nothing would be there, and he would go through the same cycle over and over again. With different guys showing up, different names, as soon as he was rid of one, others, it was a nightmare to watch, because he would make very big efforts to get rid of those guys, and another 10 would show up, telling him, I know that so-and-so, Hamed Benghazi, Habadi, did Bello screwed you, but me, I'm here to tell you, I'm the attorney for the Nigerian, Ghana, whatever, and I'm going to help you retrieve that money. Me, you can trust. And so he would go for that. And this time it was going to be the right time. It was one of the skills, the schemes. Right. Well, you only send me 250. It arrived too late. The bank was closed, so we had to wait until the next day. The next day it wasn't the same bureaucrat, so we had to bribe another one. And therefore, it's your fault if you fucked up again. You should have sent us the money faster. And this time, watch out. and it would go over and over and over and over again. I recollect overhearing a conversation of my cousin, who was literally begging this guy on the phone, saying, "Listen, I have to steal money from my handicapped sister, and this is killing her. So you need to tell me, if this is true, I will go ahead and send you $200 more and then be done. But if it is not, I beg you, let me be. Let me be. Let me go. Please, please." What I overheard the guy with his raucous voice say was, don't worry, you know, your sister is going to be so proud of you on Monday. Just trust me, just send me the $250, and I assure you that you can pay all of her medical bills, and your mom is going to be so proud of you, etc. So you have my word of honor. Because, of course, my cousin went ahead and sent the $200 or $250.
Wow. but they had the word of honor.
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, I mean, there's another clip. Do we want to go in? Is this sort of like final words?
Kind of, yeah, final words from this person and just a word of caution. Absolutely.
All right. Here, we have a word of caution from somebody who was drugged through this for 10 years.
Yeah. So basically, what people say is that there needs to be...
The more we objected, the more his ego got involved, and the more he was going to prove to us that we were wrong. It had become a deadly addiction. And we, the family, didn't have a clue as to what we were dealing with until we realized we were losing that guy we absolutely loved. Is one of the ways that I try to heal myself from this horror is to say that I'm going to make it count for other people. And the first step is to tell unsuspecting families like we were, if any of your loved ones has anything to do with any of these scams, please throw away the computer. Do an intervention before it's too late.
Wow, that's powerful words.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, with a lot of these victims, once they do realize they've been scammed, they're so ashamed that they won't tell anybody. So there's a lot of people out there that are suffering, and it could only be, you know, it could be $200, it could be $500. You know, it doesn't really matter, but it just feels like someone's, you know, taking something away from you at times more than money, but it's your pride, it's your smarts, and it's, you know, everyone wants to think that they're smarter than that. So it's, you know, as this person was saying, there should be some kind of a group or a therapy that people can go to just try and build that self-esteem up again, because, you know, a lot of troubles on the streets today with all kinds of people is that low self-esteem issue.
Yeah, and I could hear the person that you were interviewing. They talked about it like an addiction, which would put it in the same category as a drug or alcohol or gambling or any of those other things, that it was to the point in their mind that it was an addiction. And I love how they said, you know, if you have to throw away the computer, you know, throw away anything, cut off that connection between those people, in the same sense as if you were to send them to a specialized program where they would not have access to whatever drug or thing that they're addicted to.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, building trust and breaking trust, I mean, you know, as human beings, we want to be able to trust our fellow man. We want to be able to take the benefit of the doubt. We want to say this is real. And having that trust destroyed really has such a big effect for that person. Because if you can't go around every day without trusting people, you're just not going to get it. You know, you're not going to be a happy, fulfilled person.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to go to a break, but you told me a little bit about some music that you recorded, and I want to kind of use that as we go into the break, but set it up for it.
Yeah, I recorded this with my cell phone, actually, but it's in the church with the children, the orphans singing. The music there is so powerful and beautiful that I thought it'd be nice just to play, you know, a positive side of that country.
Absolutely. So here you have some Nigerian music. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Our guest today is Jeff Brown. He is a movie director, producer, writer, cinematographer. And what we're talking about is the Nigerian letter scam. And, you know, this is something that, you know, has been duplicated in a variety of different ways. It can now come from a variety of different countries, but essentially it's the same thing. It's a confidence scam. It's somebody that's promising something that they're never going to do, but they're just playing off of your desire to want to trust somebody, to want to believe in your fellow man. And as you've just heard, they will really stoop to an incredible any level necessary to get the money that they so desire. So Jeff, now we talked a little bit about the scams. We talked a little bit about, you know, the time in which you were over there and that you had gone to the warehouses, that you had met some of these scammers. You know, did you ever feel as though they had any remorse for what they were doing?
A few people, I mean, to them, it really is just generally a game. I mean, they think the West is this paradise where money grows on trees. And so
it doesn't.
If it does, show me where those trees are. But that's part of the thing. They don't really realize the damage that they're doing. I mean, they're so destitute over there, a lot of them, that they, you know, I interviewed people at all different levels. I mean, there are actually other people who make millions of dollars through these scams, who live a very good life in Nigeria, the sort of the kingpins of these scams. But generally, I was sort of interviewing more of the guys on the ground, what are called the fishers, the guys that are sending these emails out and roping them in. I interviewed one guy that actually was involved with scamming a European company and saying that they were selling them large amounts of oil in these abandoned oil drums. And they had gotten a couple million dollars from these people. They had set up a thing at the hotel where they pretended the chief of the town was coming in, and they had champagne, and they really had this big celebration for this deal that was going to happen, where, you know, the Europeans were going to, you know, make a lot of money, everyone was going to mm-hmm. be happy and stuff like that. And you know, this guy I interviewed said, you know, after the party and stuff, everyone just took off. They had a burn phone and just disappeared. They, you know, split their money and that was it. So the Europeans, this company went back empty-handed, and, you know, these guys just sort of ran for it. And one of the guys I interviewed actually is trying not to do it anymore. He knows it's wrong. They all know it's wrong. There's signs all over the place put up by the government saying 419, beware, do not scam, do not do this. So they actually, as a country, are trying to change it, and they're actually also scamming themselves.
Okay, so which really leads right into my next question, which I was going to say, what is the Nigerian government doing about it? Or is it just lip service because some of them are involved in it?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I mean, I even heard that they tax some of the money. It actually employs a large percentage of the population over there. So it is lip service a bit, but there is also a group called EFCC, the Economic Financial Crime Division, that goes out and infiltrates and has people undercover trying to bust these scammers. And they do. They do succeed at busting them from time to time. And you know, but it's just a hard thing to do because the government is so corrupt over there too. I mean, you know, part of the problem with Nigeria is just for the youth and stuff, there's no positive role models. And so they have nothing really to look up to. And we'll get into that at a later date because this orphanage and stuff where I was, you know, there's a priest there that's kind of changing that. But generally, the infrastructure is, and they love money. They love to be flashy. Those with money, they have a thing where they spray money. It's called money spraying. And it's basically, you know, you go to a party and stuff and someone's dancing and doing a good job of dancing. They'll come up and they'll have a handful of cash and they will spray the person with these like dollar bills if they're doing a good job dancing. They love the flash. And there was actually a song. The 419 is so rampant there. There's a couple artists that sing about these scams, and there's one song called I Go Chop Your Dollar. And basically the lyrics of the thing are, 419, I've got the lyrics here, but it's saying that 419 is just a game, you know. You are the loser, we are the winners. And it's this poppy song that's very, you know, everyone was sort of loving there, and that's the real shame.
This is your big opportunity to start a new career, a singing career, if you want to hum us a few bars. well, we've got some questions that have come in, one of which has come in via email. So this one reads, we are currency investors who have been approached by a friend who swears that her contacts are credible people connected in the government and banking industries. She put together a sizable list of names with city, state, and phone number. We were told a local banker would call us and make an appointment for us to turn our currency for a nice profit. After 2 days, she called back saying they needed our driver's license or passport number to verify our identity. This was such an obvious scam to us at that point that we balked immediately and backed out. But we are very concerned for the 40 or more other people, some of whom we know personally, who are giving this information. Do you think this is a Nigerian scam, and have you heard about this particular one?
It absolutely sounds like a typical Nigerian scam. It sounds like, I mean, they're trying to develop these new, they're called formats. Each scam is a format. So they're constantly trying to develop new ways of scamming people, new different letters, different ways of sort of hooking people in. This would be another one, but again, it has all the same sort of things, that all the same common thread. Give us your ID, give us some money, you know, this currency exchange. I mean, this is not real at all.
Right.
Get those 40 people out of it as soon as possible, because they will not get money from it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that's another thing, too, for people to watch out for is that, you know, if somebody were giving you something, they don't need your bank account.
Right.
They say, give me your bank account number so that we can put the money in there. Guess what? There's plenty of other ways to get the money to me. You don't need my account to do it. Now, is that one of the issues also, is that once they get your account, do they have people who are able to use some of their other scams to be able to suck money out?
Yeah, I haven't heard of being able to suck money out of the account, but they might use your information, your bank account number, as a tool to try and scam somebody else for something, where they might use you saying that you're an investor, or your name will just get passed around through the system. It may have nothing to do with that immediate scam, but they all, you know, a lot of them work together. So your name will be used for something. Your bank account will be used for something, whether they're setting up fake websites with fake accounts on it and putting in fake money into the account, which also they do too. I mean, they're actually a very smart country. They know how to obviously sort of work the system. They believe they're the smarter country in Africa, actually. But yeah, it's do not hand them, you know, anything.
Exactly. We have another question or statement that's coming in, and it says, can you tell me more about this 419 criminal law? When I read it on the site, it was the first time I was aware that something like this exists. How are these people being found and prosecuted? And FYI, I too was scammed for a small amount, $200, to a Haitian relief fund that we later found out was not real and did not exist.
Yeah, those are the sad ones, because those are the ones where they're just really taking advantage of your heart, where you don't have anything to gain. You're just actually donating money to something like the Haitian Relief Fund,
sure,
which is purely, 100% criminal and very sad, because that could hurt the real foundations, the real organizations down the road.
Right.
Those ones are, those are just really nasty. It's the ones, I mean, they're all nasty, but mm-hmm. the ones where you're getting something back is also not good. But the 419 is the criminal code in the law books there. So if you're tried in the courts for scamming, it's in the books, it's called the 419 scams.
Okay. And again, going back to this one for the Haitian Relief Fund, and I really agree with you. One of the things that makes these so horrible is the fact that it actually makes good people leery of donating to the very legitimate funds that are out there. There's so many great people out there that have formed really great foundations that are doing wonderful work. And the Haitian area, when we had the problems down there, when they had the earthquakes and tornadoes and, stuff, and everything else, and hurricanes and stuff. I know people personally that went down there and spent time down there helping people, and then to have people not want to send them money because of the fact that they were taken advantage of by somebody like this. It has this domino effect of how many people it really does hurt, and that's sad.
It is sad. Just, do your homework, and it's always good to donate to a cause that you know somebody who is working in that cause. I mean, you've just got to research. Don't hand money around. Take care of your money and use it wisely and put it into these right causes. I mean, like I say, these kids in Nigeria and stuff, I mean, there's a lot of foundations and stuff in Nigeria because and they need money down there because generally people, I believe, are born good and they want to mm-hmm. do good. And a lot of these kids that I meet down there want to do good. They don't want to have anything to do with these scams, but they just don't have any opportunity. So that creates a huge challenge for the country when they're saying, you've got these kids and university students waving their hands saying, we want to make a difference out there. This is not us. We love Nigeria, but the scam, it's not us.
Right.
And
having seen both sides of the spectrum, I mean, you've gone down there and you've worked with some of the charities, but at the same time, you've gone down there and hung out with the scammers.
Yeah.
Having seen both sides, what do you see the future of Nigeria as?
The future of Nigeria? Well, I'm hopeful for, a better future for everywhere and every country. And I think this, what's going on in Nigeria and this foundation that I work with and this group called Gratia International, they are really doing everything they can to make a positive future for Nigeria and create the best universities in the country, if not all of Africa. Right now, what these guys, Gratia, are doing is they are teaching, people, to take power in themselves, to help change the paradigm of corruption through teaching the virtues and principles of truth, as laid out in there's the book, The Power of Powerlessness. And basically, all these students that I meet, they all want to stay. It's not like they want to leave Nigeria. A lot of them want to stay in Nigeria and change the government and just do what they can to make it a positive place, because they're smart enough. They're great athletes there. They've got beautiful music. They're great actors. They've got a huge film industry there. And there's just so much opportunity in Nigeria that it's just being wasted through these scams. Also, the bigger oil corporations and stuff down there, I mean, there's just got to be a way somehow where the government has to get shaken up and somehow become honest and help the local people, help the villagers and everything like that.
Right. So what you're saying is that even if the oil companies, you know, went down, paid a fair wage and everything else, there would still be issues with the government trying to pretty much siphon off everything they could, which still doesn't end up getting down to the average person.
Through the oil, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's difficult. I mean, they're just left down there, these people in their villages and stuff like that, just to sort of make do themselves. I mean, some of the companies, the oil corporations, are working at making a change and hiring some of the locals and stuff, but it's nothing really that I've seen, and I haven't done enough research on it. There was an activist, Ken Sarawiwa, who was a peaceful protester back in the early 90s, who was trying to fight for the Nigerians, you know, to try and get some equal money back from these oil companies.
Now, okay, so, you know, let's get back to the main thing. You went down there to make a movie. You went down there to be able to look at it from their side. So what are your hopes for the movie, and how could shining a light on this, you know, and getting that information out to the world, how could that help elicit change in that country?
Well, I think the more people that know about the scams, for one, are, you know, is going to help prevent it, because people will learn, hey, this is a scam. It'll make people say, you know, wait a minute, I've got this crazy business deal happening, and it seems too good to be true. So if you stamp out the scams altogether and educate the people, educate those who are falling victim to it, and then let the scammers in Nigeria know that, you know, we're wising up over here, hopefully that will, you know, extinguish it to a certain degree. And then also, I would love the movie somehow to also show, you know, there's a journey in there about a boy, and he's a protagonist, and, you know, I won't get into the details of the script, but I would like to inspire Nigerians themselves and the youth in Nigeria to know that they can make a change, that they don't have to grow up in this world. I mean, they don't have to grow up in the world of scamming, and there's a way to at this village, at this the Grash International, one of the priests there who sort of runs the place is always, you know, teaching mm-hmm. the kids, like, be a job creator rather than a job seeker. Find your way, build a business, your own business, an honest business, and make money, and that will create other jobs. And, you know, I hope my film does that and sheds light onto, you know, a country filled with people that, yeah, there's a number of people there who are scamming, but there's also a very large number of people that want to change Nigeria for a better place.
So what could I do, or what could anybody listening do to help you get this movie made so that we can shine a light on this? Because it really looks like there's a great possibility that we can make a difference. We can make a difference in that country, but at the same time, shining a light on it makes a difference in every Western country that has people being sucked into this. So, and I love the idea of, you know, how can we make a difference on this planet? What can somebody listening do? Now, again, I've given your website, but I'll do it again. It's www.jeffbrown.com. That's GeoffBrowne.com. What can somebody do to help you make that a reality?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I mean, the ultimate thing is really it does come down to money. I mean, we've got it comes down to money and just, you know, getting involved in the film. I mean, to get involved in a film like this, and there's another one I'm putting together also in Nigeria, to get involved in these kind of films, it's exciting for people to help finance. One, because it's making a change for mm-hmm. for the country, for the world. It's helping a lot of people. And those are the kind of films that ultimately, you know, I want to make. That's, you know, you want to try and make a positive difference on the planet as much as you can. And then you get to sort of do this sort of armchair travel and join me on this adventure to Nigeria as we sort of get to the bottom of this, of the email scams. We get to the bottom and just try and root it out together. I mean, let's make a difference together. And so, absolutely, if people want to get a hold of me through my webpage and see how they can get involved and help me through this journey, and let's journey together and let's stop this thing.
I could not agree more. You and I will talk more about that. And again, if anybody else out there, just go to the website and check it out. Now, again, if you've been listening lately, you will also know that I have a very dear friend. Her name is Donya, and she is in need of some help. She is struggling right now, but we are getting people that are going to a site that are finding ways to be able to help. So I'm going to play a little clip from her daughter, Darnell, who has also gone through a similar struggle. And please listen and do whatever you can to help. And have a great week and be good human beings.
My name is Darnell Young, and I'm desperately reaching out for help. In 1970, after a blood transfusion, my mom contracted hepatitis C, which later evolved into terminal liver cancer. A transplant is her only chance of survival, and we don't have the means to fund the surgery. My stepdad's working as much as he can, and I just got off chemotherapy myself, so I've been limited in what I can do. Any amount you could give would help our family more than you can possibly know. You can go to our fundraising website at youcaring.com. That's youcaring.com, and search One Family's Battle, onefamily_sbattle, and you can donate directly there. Don't forget to capitalize the first letter of all those words. Thank you.
All right. And thank you, Darnell. And thank you, everybody, for listening. So, again, you've been listening to Answers for the Family. This is Jeff Brown. Jeff, thank you so much for coming. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we sign off?
Yeah. One thing is, if anyone is interested in also helping out with this orphanage and helping Gratiot International build these schools where I've been and filmed, and they're completely viable, the universities are fantastic. Also, you can get that information on my website. There's a section called Social Action, and I'll introduce you to the people at Gratiot International, and you would love to be a part and see these kids and the music. I'm not sure if we're able to play that again, but just to be a part of it is very exciting, and I'd love to help out Gratiot. So join me on that as well.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And as we go off, we will end with a little bit of the Nigerian church music.